Well, because of our congregational corporation meeting, we're going to keep this nice and short, if we can. Let's see, I have some computer problems here. Better bring that back up. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, if you want to begin looking at Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to talk about Paul's goal and prize this morning in Philippians chapter 3. And one of the reasons I think this is an appropriate passage of Scripture for this morning's purpose is that part of our meeting today is to look at the previous year as a congregation, and then look to this year. And our whole idea is to learn from the past and to press forward, to move forward in a positive way as a congregation. And so in Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 7, Paul writes, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God in the basis or on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." So I want to very quickly look at what Paul says is his prize and his goals. Paul's goals in this was, number one, verses 7 and 8, to gain Christ. Why don't you think about those words? Gaining Christ. Is that a goal of ours? He says another goal is to have a true righteousness. Not one based on the law of Moses like his Jewish brethren, but a true righteousness which comes through Christ and by faith. Verse 9. Another goal that he says is to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Again, loving the wording here, that he had a goal to attain to some status that he called attaining to the resurrection of the dead. It wasn't something that Paul thought was just going to happen. Obviously, he is focusing here on the resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection and that goal, that prize that he's talking about. But it was something that he saw as having to be attained. To attain to the resurrection of the dead. And then he said as well, to achieve the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, what he calls the prize. That's what he was working towards. That's where he had set his eyes, his goals. To do these things, to attain to these statuses, to, as he says later on in another book, to win the prize. But if we just simply look at these goals by Paul, we fall short. Truly, we need to look at these and we need to have them as our goal. Not sometime in the future, but right now. Right now, these need to be what drives us, what motivates us. This is what we need to be not only working towards, but looking forward to. And so I want to ask you, are you imitating Paul in these things? Or is this really something that you want to obtain, but you think of it as, I will do it later. I will do it as I get older in life. Well, we all know how foolish that is, because there is no guarantee. And that when you really love Christ, Christ becomes important to you now. Not sometime in the future. And so let us take a good look at what Paul's goals were, and the ultimate goal was to win that prize. But let us also look at what he talks about as having to do. What did he do in order to obtain those goals? What did the Apostle Paul himself see as necessary to accomplish those things and ultimately to win that prize? Well, he says, number one, verse 7 and 8, that he counted all things to be lost. All things to be lost. I'm coming close to being 30 years in Christ. And I don't think I've achieved this yet. I think this is one of the biggest things for Christians that holds them back. There's a lot of things that we consider to be lost. But there's some things that hold us from pressing forward because we're not willing to consider them lost. We're not willing to give them up. And that is true in my life, and I need to continue to work on that. To be willing to give up anything that stands in my way of obtaining those goals. Paul says he called them but rubbish. And it wasn't just the idea of losing things. It was losing things, as he says, to obtain the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Let us not get caught up in the world of those who we have studied with and said, no, it's too great of a sacrifice. Let's not get caught up in those things where people say, I don't want to give those things up. In other words, let us not just look at the things that we give up that we count as lost. But let us do so with a view of what we gain. The surpassing value of knowing Christ. When you understand what you're gaining, then you really are so easily willing to count it as lost. But in verses 12 through 14, he says, I also press forward. I press forward. And I think this is a struggle for some Christians because they allow the past to hold on. They won't overcome the past. Paul says, one thing I do is I forget what lies behind. And I don't know if Paul didn't actually forget what happened in his past. As we read the letters of Paul, Paul obviously talked several times about how he saw himself as the foremost sinner. He talked about how he persecuted Christians. But that's the amazing thing about Paul, is that Paul understood understood, saw himself as the foremost sinner. But because of the very things he's talking about in this verse, in this passage, he became what I would say we all would agree, the foremost apostle. He went from the foremost sinner to the foremost apostle. And so he never forgot what he did in the past. But he was willing to press forward. He was willing not to let it keep him from becoming that whole man, that mature man, that complete man in Jesus Christ. And there are Christians today that struggle with letting the Jesus Christ, their Savior, mold them and fold them into that magnificent piece of artwork that we talked about last week, of being pure and holy and godly, a shining light to the world, because there are things in their past that they're still holding on. Whether it's because of a worldly desire, or because of a guilty conscience, or low self-esteem, let us take confidence that the world's foremost sinner was able and willing to do it, and that you can do it. And just think of what Jesus Christ can mold you into as we forget what lies behind and we press forward. And then verse 16, he says, however, let us keep living by that same standard, and he uses the word again, attain, which we have attained. You see, as we press forward, as we try to accomplish those goals, we cannot just make up our own way. And that's what men want to do. Men want to make up their own standard, their own way. In fact, Paul says earlier in these verses, he says, I want to have a righteousness not derived by the law. He's talking about his own Jewish brethren made up their own way through the law, their own righteousness. But Paul says, I want God's standard. I want God's true righteousness. Paul wasn't making this up just as he went. He wasn't making up things that fit his lifestyle. He was changing his life to fit God's standard. I think most of us recognize this gentleman, John Wooden. Legendary coach whose resume has not yet been matched. 10 national titles in 12 years. 7 of those titles were in consecutive years. In which modern time, I think it's been a title has won in 2 consecutive years, not more than that. I think I remember Florida doing it in consecutive years. He did it in 7 consecutive years. In one span, he won 88 games in a row. He was National Coach of the Year 6 times. But John Wooden is respected not just because of the man he was on the court, but because of the kind of the man he was off the court. Corey Collins, who wrote a summary about the famed UCLA basketball coach, state that Wooden's personal principles empowered him to have the great influence he exerted both on and off the court. What made the difference in his life was an item that John Wooden kept in his wallet. What's in your wallet? It was a piece of paper that Wooden's father gave him when he was only 12. It was tattered and worn. It was his constant companion. It was his source of guiding principle. And here's how it read. Be true to yourself. Make each day your masterpiece. Help others. Drink deeply from the good books, especially the Bible. Make friendship a fine art. Build shelter against a rainy day. Pray for guidance and give thanks for your blessings every day. Collins, the author, considered one of the greatest people who have ever lived and inquires, if the Apostle Paul had owned a wallet, what would have been kept in it? And his answer, his opinion was Philippians 3:7-16. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Jesus Christ. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so I say to you, as we look at 2018, both in your individual life and as a congregation of people that have committed ourselves to work together, not just to worship together, but to work together for the cause of Jesus Christ in North Orange County. Let us press on. Let us have Philippians chapter 3, if not literally in our wallets, let us carry it with ourselves each and every day. Because that's a prize that we all want to attain. That's a prize nobody wants to leave behind. If we can help you press on this morning, won't you let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.
Is the bread